Welcome to the WWE Podcast Week in Review. Tonight we've got a lot to cover, as always. With just a week until Christmas, WWE doesn't seem to be taking their foot off the pedal here, and a lot happened, right? Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman appear to be possibly back together. I'm going to dive into that right at the open of the show. But also, Sami Zayn has seemingly resurrected the Intercontinental Championship, or at least reminded WWE that they have one. Sonya Deville avoids Naomi for the 100th time, and Bobby Lashley goes through three matches to get inserted into the title match at Day One. We're going to go through all this and much more right after this. Let's talk about supplements for just a minute. The market of supplements is overcrowded, right? It's oversaturated. There's too many to choose from. You just don't know which one you want. You don't know which one's effective, what has potential harmful side effects. Well, I have one that I can tell you with confidence is not only not going to give you any of those negative side effects, but also will provide you with the energy that's sustainable. It doesn't have those crashes. And the product I'm talking about is called Energy Boost. It's from a company called Vitali Boost, and they sell a bunch of other great products. But you can check out the website at vitaliboost.com. That's V-I-T-A-L-I boost.com. So what makes Energy Boost so great? Well, it's made from natural, clinically researched ingredients that include caffeine, B vitamins, and other energy-stimulating nutrients. And it's perfect whether you're working out, gaming, studying, or during those intimate times with your partner. Not only does Energy Boost give you sustained, powerful energy, it's also specifically formulated to avoid those negative effects that I was talking about that some people experience with just consuming caffeine alone. I'm a massive coffee drinker. I can tell you the crash is no fun, right? We all know that. Those of us that are Starbucks aficionados or wherever you may get your coffee, we all know what that does. This is not going to give you that crash. And Vitali Boost, by the way, is a leader in the supplement energy market, and customers absolutely love them. Right now, they have a 92% five-star review on Judge Me. It's a third-party review platform that only accepts reviews from verified purchases, so you know they're not just creating these manufactured reviews. These are real people reviewing the product, honestly, and 92% is an amazing five-star rating review. So check out Energy Boost today, risk-free. You can go to vitaliboost.com. Again, that's V-I-T-A-L-I boost.com. You use our promo code WWE for a discount. But if you're interested in learning a little bit more about the science behind Energy Boost, visit my Vitali Boost's health guide at vitaliboost.com. Again, V-I-T-A-L-I boost.com. And right there, you'll find information from peer-reviewed academic journals about the active ingredients in all of Vitali Boost's supplements. All of these supplements, by the way, are made in the United States. That's cool. And a reminder, go to vitaliboost.com and use our promo code WWE. You'll get a discount on the Energy Boost and all of their other great supplements. So don't miss out, guys. Go check out Energy Boost. And again, it's vitaliboost.com, V-I-T-A-L-I boost.com. The Traveler's Blueprint Podcast, streaming anywhere podcasts are available. Learn how you can become your own travel agent with insight provided by travel authors, tour guides, adventurers, conservationists, and digital nomads as hosts Bob DeMena and Elliot Shibley interview travel enthusiasts from around the world in order to gain knowledge on all aspects of travel. You can find them on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at The Traveler's Blueprint. Again, check out The Traveler's Blueprint Podcast. It's streaming anywhere podcasts are available.
This is WWE superstar Drew McIntyre, and you're listening to the WWE Podcast.
The champ is the one that everybody wants, me.
Becky Lynch is going to WrestleMania.
Claymore!
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
This is my iron.
You're going to acknowledge me.
Welcome to the WWE Podcast, everybody. Hope everybody is doing well. Hope you got those gifts ready to go. If you're like me, then the answer to that is nope. As every year rolls around, I say to myself, I'm not going to wait till last minute. But in true male fashion, I wait till the last minute. So I'll be scrambling like a chicken with my head cut off for the first part of this week with some last minute gifts. No, I didn't do any shop. I mean, I did most of my shopping, but I still always have last minute stuff. And I always say every year, I'm not going to do it. And here we are. But We're not here to talk about my gift-giving disability. We're here to talk about pro wrestling, and we're going to get into that. But first, I'd like to let you guys know that, you know, I understand, look, a lot of this show over the last few weeks, and will be continuing over the next few weeks, is ad-filled. I get it. You know, I do appreciate our sponsors. They help the show keep moving on and growing in the ratings and everything. So I'm very appreciative. But I also know from a listening perspective and listening experience, it can be a bit daunting, right? I mean, you're listening for 5-10 minutes, and all of a sudden another ad pops up, right? And I'd like to invite you, if you want to get rid of that, for a very minimal, and I'm talking like under $1.99 right now, to get rid of those ads. If you have Apple Podcasts, you can do that. And that special is continuing through the holidays. 99 cents to get rid of the ads, ad-free, on Apple Podcasts. And it's $9.99 for the entire year. Lock that price in. Because if you don't lock that price in, it could go up in the coming weeks. So just continue to consider that if you're interested. Because I know that ads can be a pain in the neck. And I understand that. But also, don't forget, we are available on Patreon, too. So on Patreon, you can get yourself in with ad-free for $1, same price. Okay, it's a penny more on Patreon. And also get yourself into a Discord server, and also get yourself a shout-out on this show, which, by the way, speaking of shout-outs, we do have a new patron to the show. And right now, I'd like to welcome Tommy Smith. Tommy Smith, welcome to the family, my friend. You are going to get ad-free everything. You get a Discord server you can join and a bunch of other stuff. So Tommy Smith, welcome. And I'd also like to give a shout-out. I know this is a returning patron, but a long-time supporting one. Terry Middick. I hope I pronounced that right. Terry. I know I got that right. Terry, thank you so much for your support as well. It is much appreciated. And we're going to continue to grow, and you get to experience every show ad-free. Everything. So I know I had a bit of an infomercial talking about commercials. I guess it's kind of... A contrast of interest there. So let's move into pro wrestling. Let's move into what I want to talk about right at the beginning, which I promised at the top of the show, Brock Lesnar. And what happened on SmackDown. Now, again, Michael Ritter does an excellent job, but I want to give my take as well. And with Michael Ritter covering it so well, I'm trying to find a different perspective, but I think I do here. So as you guys know, I'm not a huge fan of Brock Lesnar's attire. The farm boy look, the lost in the woods look, I don't hate it. It's just not my flavor. I'm not going to sit here and rant about it. I'm not going to sit here and rant about it. And as some things trigger me, this does not. It just is not my flavor of Brock that I like. The Brock I like is the traditional, just kind of cut off sleeve and even jeans. I can deal with cut off sleeves and jeans, But this is the overalls and the butcher's apron. I mean, this is getting more ridiculous by the week. And anyway, so Brock comes out or gets out of his limo, or I think it was a limo, and Paul Heyman was waiting on what was presumably was Roman Reigns. Of course, it was Brock. Brock and Heyman have a bit of a conversation saying that, Paul Heyman was waiting for someone. He didn't expect him. And Brock said, I'm assuming you're waiting for Roman. And, he said, good luck with that. And they kind of split ways. Roman eventually comes to the show, albeit, at the very end of the show. It's funny to me. At the end of the show, he shows up. It's kind of unbelievable that he shows up for 10 minutes just to go back on a plane. But we've seen that throughout the years in pro wrestling, that all of a sudden someone arrives at the exact main event. And, if they didn't have to be there hours beforehand. But Roman Reigns comes in, he says, let's go to the ring, and he questions Paul Heyman, ultimately to ask, are you the special counsel or are you an advocate? And while Paul Heyman didn't directly answer, he said that he was here to protect Roman from Brock. And essentially, without saying it, he's trying to say he's on the side of Roman, but he's admitting, without admitting it, that he's been working with Brock to protect Roman from Brock. And so Paul Heyman thinks it's okay after Roman gives him a hug, and boom, after he said he's fired, he gives him a Superman punch. He's about to give Paul Heyman a concerto, and out comes Brock. and he ends up destroying the Usos, F5-ing both of them on the outside of the ring, and actually gets his hands on Roman after Roman, as Brock got in the ring, Roman was nailing him with a chair, seemingly to no effect, and Brock F5'd Roman twice. You know, that it's really surprising that Brock actually got to Roman Reigns. Typically, that level of a heel would escape, slither out, you know, somehow, some way, and he didn't. And Brock looked dominant, and Michael Cole saying, you know, was Paul Heyman right that he was protecting Roman from Brock? And Brock looked dominant. The crowd loved it in Chicago, in the Allstate Arena. Great crowd as always there. And this was a fun ending. You know, it felt a little bit old school, Brock Lesnar ending SmackDown. It was just a fun ending to the show. Made you feel satisfied. And they, of course, led you to believe, the announcers did, that could this be a sign of things to come in 2 weeks at day one, where Brock Lesnar could be the one to finally end the streak of Roman Reigns as champion. Of course, most of us believe that's not going to happen. I think there's a case to be made for it. I still don't believe that to be credible. I think most of us don't see it happening. But I'd love to hear your guys, meaning the listeners, if you have some kind of theory on how this could happen, please throw it my way. I'd love to believe, because I don't want this to be a foregone conclusion like a lot of Roman's matches have been. But this was fun, and Brock Lesnar, Roman, are at it once again. People believe this could go to WrestleMania. I hope not. I've said it before. I'll say it again for those that haven't heard my hope, my opinions, is that Brock and Bobby Lashley square off at WrestleMania, and Roman and Drew square off at WrestleMania, if The Rock's not available, of course. So that's my hope, because I don't want Roman and Brock to get to WrestleMania. Roman and Brock to WrestleMania is like 3.5 months away. Do we really want 3.5 more months of this? No, I don't. And the thing is, we've seen them fight before. We've seen them in many, many matches, big time matches before. The good thing about this is, at least for now, they still feel kind of fresh, because they're totally different characters right now, with Roman playing one of the best heels we've seen in a generation, as well as, yes, I said a generation. I didn't slip that out on, you know, by accident, or, you know, kind of speak in hyperbole, that I believe. And also, Brock Lesnar is in a babyface role for the first time in a while, and his look is different. So these characters do feel fresh, even though, yes, they have fought one another many times in the past on a big stage nonetheless. So the point I'm making is, yeah, I don't want to see this strung out another 3.5 months. I don't. You know, as good as they are, and as quote-unquote fresh as it feels right now, I think that that's ill-advised, because there are better opponents for both, and more a fresh story for both. Fresher stories. There it is. So anyway, I enjoyed it, and I think the big hook here is, does Paul Heyman officially join Brock Lesnar again? You know, next week on SmackDown, does he come out and cut a scathing promo against Roman? I tend to believe so. I would really, and I can't wait to see Paul Heyman and Brock Lesnar back together in an official capacity, where now that Paul Heyman's been fired and he doesn't have to worry about walking on eggshells with Roman, he can just come out and lay waste to Roman Reigns and talk about how he has been stringing Roman along all these months, and talk about how he's been undermining him, and just get under the skin of Roman. And he could do it in a way that's a babyface role. Now, Paul Heyman traditionally has been a heel. He's been with a heel for years now. I mean, when you cover Brock and Roman over the last few years, he's been with a heel character. But now that Brock's babyface, and assumingly that Paul Heyman is back with Brock, this is going to be fun to see a babyface Paul Heyman and see what those promos are like. Because Paul Heyman's a respected character. You know, he knows how to manipulate a crowd better than most talent today. And it's going to be fun to see what he can do with a babyface Brock, who has generally the majority support from people. I don't hear a lot of boos from people, you know, for Brock. I think generally everybody's excited to see him when he's there. And so nonetheless, I want to see what Paul Heyman says next week on SmackDown when he's unhinged. I'm tired of the Paul Heyman that cowers. I'm tired of the Paul Heyman that is just in subservience to Roman Reigns. And while it was fun, and I, you know, in retrospect, I'm saying this now, I guess it's all hindsight, and I'm not Monday morning quarterbacking, for a while, I had been feeling, I just never vocalized it, that the subservient Paul Heyman was getting a little bit, it was a little bit much, where I knew Paul Heyman wasn't being used the best he could, and I wanted to see Paul Heyman have a set instead of just cowering before the altar of Roman Reigns. I know that's Roman's character, and I understand the sacrifice for that, but now it's time to see Paul Heyman just lay into Roman Reigns and have the protection of Brock to do it, where he could run his mouth and he has, you know, Brock Lesnar to back it up. That's going to be fun to see. So let's hope that happens. Let's hope they just immediately get back together and they're like, yeah, screw this guy. So that's going to be fun. And also give Brock some mic time. I don't need to see Paul Heyman, just because he's back on the mic and being the mouthpiece for Brock, not give Brock some time, because I think Brock has loosened up over the last several months since returning at SummerSlam. So let me know what you guys think. Interested to hear what you everybody thinks in the mailbag, which of course is on Wednesdays, and you can voice your opinion there in via voicemail or email at realwwepodcast@gmail.com, or you can also, as always, Instagram me at WWE_podcast, or on TikTok at the WWE podcast. So, which, by the way, I know I haven't been on TikTok in a while, and also up front, I didn't address this at the beginning. I have had plans over the last several weeks to have co-hosts on here, and it's of no fault of anybody but my own, because it, as I said, if you missed it last week, I just haven't had a consistent sleep schedule with my my 4-month-old. So without that consistent sleep schedule and waking up every hour or so, or whenever, I can't bring a co-host on to pause for 30 minutes to put my my daughter back to sleep to then pick back up. It's not fair to anybody. And so until there's a consistent sleep schedule between the hours of 9 and 11 at night, that's why there's no co-host. Trust me, I miss them more than you guys do. I don't want you to hear me rant for an hour or ramble on. A rant for an hour would be insane, but ramble on for an hour, that's not my point. And I know co-hosts are missed, and I was going to have somebody on tonight, and I couldn't. So it'll eventually happen. We'll have co-hosts back on, or maybe I'll find time during the week. It's not going to be a long time before I have people back on talking with me, because I miss it. I miss the camaraderie. I miss the back and forth, as well as saving my own voice. So, all right. With that said, let's move on. I just wanted to address it. And let's talk about Naomi and Sonya Deville, because many of you out there have said that you're tired of this, that you're ready for Sonya Deville to finally just have her match. And it's been over 4 months, which is insane to think. It doesn't feel that long. But Naomi has been getting messed with by Sonya Deville for months now. And she has yet to face her in the ring, and has yet to even get a finger on her, even get any kind of retribution. Now, I have defended this by saying it's good heat building. They very, very rarely do this long of a program and build heat for this long on anybody. So I've been defending it. I continue to defend it. That said, I do have a couple of things to say about this. To the contrary, I understand your frustration. Number one, I understand your frustration that you just want Sonya Deville and Naomi to just happen. It's been too long. Let's just get to it. I get that. It started to feel a little bit that way for me this week. And now the other thing is, can Naomi just snap? Does she have a breaking point? That's the other thing. What is it going to take for Naomi to just lose her, and just haul off and, just bury Sonya Deville? What is it going to take? What does Sonya Deville have to do? I mean, it felt a little bit like Bianca when she got slapped by Sasha Banks last year before WrestleMania. And instead of retaliating, she just points to a sign. And it's like, what? Do you have handcuffs? Someone had a gun to your head? Like, what's the problem? And I understand that the message is that if Sonya Deville or Naomi puts her fingers on Sonya Deville, that she will not get a paycheck. She'll probably be suspended or fired. But yet Sonya Deville, last week or 2 weeks ago, slaps Naomi as an authority figure and there's no retaliation. People want to see her snap. So I want to see a breaking point for Naomi. Like, what is it going to take? So I will concede that part of the frustration. overall, it's still not enough to ruin the storyline. It's starting to eat away at it a little bit because it's been so long, and let's just get to it. I get that. So hopefully they get to it at day one. If they don't do it at day one, like, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're building to. Tell me it's not Rumble. I don't need another month of this. Let's just, you know, get to it. The last thing I'll say on this is that I do hope that it's not just a rear end that ends this whole program, and that Sonya Deville gets what's coming to her. You know, like, let's not just end it with, oh, cool, I did a roll up and I beat Sonya. Yay. Revenge complete. 4 months of being tortured and being oppressed by my supervisor, for lack of a better term, by WWE officials. No problem. I everything's even now that I got a roll up. No, like, that cannot be the payoff. Like, of course, I think Naomi's going to win, but she needs to show some aggression. She needs to snap. I want to see her lose it. And we just haven't seen it yet. So maybe it's coming. But I do enjoy the storyline overall. And I applaud WWE for the way that they can build heat sometimes. It's genuinely exciting when they do it, because it makes you tune in to see her finally get what's coming to her. So we're getting close. We're getting close. Okay, we're going to take a quick break for the sponsor of the show today, and then we're going to be back on the other side with a topic I'm very scared to discuss. I'm just afraid to talk about it, because I sense a rant coming. And yeah, you know what I'm going to talk about. Hear ye, there's your hint. We'll be right back. Let's talk about supplements for just a minute. The market of supplements is overcrowded, right? It's oversaturated. There's too many to choose from. You just don't know which one you want. You don't know which one's effective, what has potential harmful side effects. Well, I have one that I can tell you with confidence is not only not going to give you any of those negative side effects, but also will provide you with the energy that's sustainable. It doesn't have those crashes. And the product I'm talking about is called Energy Boost. It's from a company called Vitali Boost, and they sell a bunch of other great products. But you can check out the website at vitaliboost.com. That's V-I-T-A-L-I, boost.com. So what makes Energy Boost so great? Well, it's made from natural, clinically researched ingredients that include caffeine, B vitamins, and other energy-stimulating nutrients. And it's perfect whether you're working out, gaming, studying, or during those intimate times with your partner. Not only does Energy Boost give you sustained, powerful energy, it's also specifically formulated to avoid those negative effects that I was talking about that some people experience with just consuming caffeine alone. I'm a massive coffee drinker. I can tell you the crash is no fun, right? We all know that. Those of us that are Starbucks aficionados or wherever you may get your coffee, we all know what that does. This is not going to give you that crash. And Vitali Boost, by the way, is a leader in the supplement energy market. And customers absolutely love them. Right now, they have a 92% five-star review on Judge Me. It's a third-party review platform that only accepts reviews from verified purchases. So you know they're not just creating these manufactured reviews. These are real people reviewing the product, honestly. And 92% is an amazing, amazing five-star rating review. So check out Energy Boost today, risk-free. You can go to vitaliboost.com. Again, that's VitaliBoost.com. You use our promo code WWE for a discount. But if you're interested in learning a little bit more about the science behind Energy Boost, visit my Vitali Boosts health guide at VitaliBoost.com. Again, VitaliBoost.com. And right there, you'll find information from peer-reviewed academic journals about the active ingredients in all of Vitali Boost supplements. All of these supplements, by the way, are made in the United States. That's cool. And a reminder, go to vitaliboost.com and use our promo code WWE. You'll get a discount on the Energy Boost and all of their other great supplements. So don't miss out, guys. Go check out Energy Boost. And again, it's vitaliboost.com, VitaliBoost.com.
Welcome back to the WWE podcast. Let's get back to more great wrestling audio.
Okay, Xavier Woods backstage with Kofi in this kind of makeshift king's chair, so to speak, and being the benevolent king that he is, sitting there with his crown that was made for him, and you know, of course, Kofi Kingston is being absolutely insufferable. Kofi Kingston continues to get worse. It's almost impossible to get as bad as Kofi Kingston is, at least unwatchable. I'm talking about his personality. I don't need to say that anymore, okay? Not in ring. Not as a human being, not as a man or a husband. As a character. Simply as a character. That's as professionally as I can attack him. So I'm in the right here, okay? I'm not attacking him on a personal level. But he continues to be insufferably, embarrassingly awful on camera. Being a grown-ass man in his, 40s now, acting the way he does on a day-in, day-out basis for the last 7 years. And it's getting worse. He finds new ways to make it unwatchable. Like, I just want to see somebody toss him off of a roof as a character. Not okay. I know I'm taking it to the extreme and being like over dramatic. I don't care about that. I want to just make it clear I'm advocating for the character in a safe way to be destroyed. That's what I'm advocating for, not the health and safety of the human being. But if there's a way to do that safely, to literally toss Kofi Kingston off of maybe the WWE headquarters, that I would love. I mean, just see somebody do that. And then, but maybe I shouldn't do that, because what WWE would do, they'd find some way to, even though that happened to him, make it where he'd come back the next week from a hospital bed or live from the hospital joking about pancakes or something. I mean, nothing seems to bother these guys. Kofi Kingston's the worst. Nonetheless, Xavier Woods is backstage. And what is the weirdest thing about this is that we had people backstage, including the Intercontinental Champion, who apparently has nothing better to do than cheer on this made-up, insufferable character of Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston. They've got nothing better to do. They've got nothing better to do. And Rick Boogs kissing the finger of Xavier Woods, there's really nothing better. You're the Intercontinental Champion, and you're associated with the Intercontinental Champion, and you've got nothing better to do than play dress up and play make believe with this D-bag of a character. I mean, this is ridiculous. Now they're bringing in character. They're bad enough on their own. I mean, they are the epitome of a cancer in WWE. Like, they are the worst. Yeah, they to me have now reached past Miz and Morrison at their worst, and they have reached new heights. They have reached new heights or new lows, depending on how you look at it. And they're bringing in people now, creative, that is, bringing in characters to be dragged down into the mud with these man-child characters and playing make-believe. It's unbelievable. Did they not have anything better to do than just cheer on? I mean, seriously, at least there's one thing. The Intercontinental Championship has been, I guess, reinstated in WWE, or at least remember, somebody recognized it. Somebody was, oh, crap, we have an IC Championship, don't we? And there's going to be a 12-man battle royal, I guess, for the at least the opportunity to be number one contender. Hopefully it is Sami Zayn and bring some relevance back to the championship. I really hope it's Sami Zayn. If you're not going to do anything with it on Shinsuke, get it the hell off of him, because you can make a hell of a champion again out of Sami Zayn as they did the first time around, and it'll be fun. And so hopefully that's the case. Hopefully Sami Zayn wins and then wins at day one and we get an actual Intercontinental Champion they're going to do something with. I mean, is there something about Japanese stars that they have a problem with? They did the same thing with Asuka with the Raw Women's Championship. Now they're doing it with Shinsuke with the IC title. Is there some agenda against the Japanese wrestlers? I mean... I'm not drawing any racist conclusions. It's just an observation. So I don't know. But the point of the matter is this. Xavier Woods and Kofi Kingston are the absolute worst on screen. And I would love to talk to somebody who enjoys them. Why? Why? Yeah, I'm serious. Somebody, please. I want to know the logic. Maybe I'm missing it all this time. Maybe I'm missing it. I don't know. But okay, moving on to the actual match that they had. The Usos versus the New Day. Quick match. It was just fine. We've seen these two teams fight so much, I didn't need to see them in a long-term battle of any sort, but in-ring, they're all fine. And we had New Day beat the Usos, and they know each other so well that it, again, was exactly what you'd expect, which means these two will also face off for the tag team championship at day one, and I have a really big suspicion, sneaking suspicion, sad suspicion, fearful suspicion that we could have a New Day championship upon us for the, you know, the 800th time that no one cares about anymore. Okay. As I said, Naomi and Shayna Baszler, or I didn't mention Shayna Baszler, but Naomi and Sonya Deville, I mentioned that dynamic, but the actual match of Naomi and Shayna Baszler, again, the most devastating finisher in all of pro wrestling came to rear its ugly head with a quick roll-up reversal after Baszler tried to isolate Naomi's leg for a submission, and the plan to have Naomi embarrassed didn't work as Naomi did pick up the roll-up victory, and Shayna Baszler continues to be defined down. I know that she's in this program and she's on TV, but, you know, taking Naomi and Sonya Deville out of the equation, I think that's fair to just kind of put them aside here because Shayna Baszler is also collateral damage. You know, on one hand, you do have her on TV. You have her in a relevant program. Fine. You have Shayna Baszler doing something that her character should not be doing, and that's doing the dirty work for somebody else. She's a lone wolf. She doesn't play well with others. And suddenly she's just abiding by the rules and whims of Sonya Deville. Why? What stake does she have in this? What's her end game? We haven't heard from her. We haven't heard we haven't heard Shayna Baszler cut a promo in like what feels like months. And so Shayna Baszler is not only just kind of the henchman for Sonya Deville, but also she shouldn't be playing with anybody else. She's a solo act as a character. That's just what she's defined by. And she's losing matchups left and right now. Why? I mean, we're all forgetting about Shayna Baszler here because the focus is on Naomi, but Shayna Baszler is also kind of the victim here. Okay. Ridge Holland with Sheamus defeats Cesaro via pinfall after a big power slam targeting Cesaro's already injured ribs. The match was delayed after Holland hit Cesaro with the shillelagh. Reminded me of Fit Finlay. A trainer wrapped up Cesaro's ribs during a commercial break before the match officially started. So, you know, Cesaro seems to be in the camp of Finn Balor. I mean, apparently these two were just lumped into something backstage maybe they shouldn't have done. I mean, I'm not saying that they were, but it feels like it, doesn't it? Cesaro and Finn Balor have subscribed to the same losing streak. You know, it's unbelievable. These two that should be perennial main eventers in some eyes have been relegated to just non-verbal. That's a big problem. Non-verbal, no promos. In other words, just kind of enhancement talent. Now, I'm not saying it's a race what they've done in their career, but it feels like they've been defined down like five rungs over the last 2 months. It's crazy. And I understand Ridge Holland is the new shiny toy and you got to get him established, but he beats Cesaro essentially with ease, a guy that took Roman Reigns to the limit just a few months ago and nearly won the Universal Championship. So it's weird. And I'm not against Ridge Holland. I think Ridge Holland's got a good look. He's a thick dude. My God, is he a thick dude? He's gotta be like 270, 280. And him and Sheamus are a cool pairing. I like it, but, Cesaro, really? I mean, I have no problem beating Cesaro, but at least make it look like he, you know, went through hell to do it. Essentially, he's just getting bulldozed. All right, Sami Zayn again met with Adam Pearce and Sonya Deville after Sami Zayn expressed his dissatisfaction with the commercialization of the holiday, but appreciated the sentiment and cheer of giving. They entered Zayn in a 12-man gauntlet. Oh, not a battle royal. A gauntlet. Big difference. To crown a number one contender for Nakamura's Intercontinental Championship next week. So I'm reading this on CBS Sports, by the way. Credit where credit's due. So that's cool. As I mentioned earlier, I'm fine with it. Let's make the IC title actually relevant. I can't believe I'm saying that. Happy Corbin, Madcap Moss, prance around Drew McIntyre's his sword that was stuck in a dresser, or rather an office desk. They couldn't get it out. Only Drew McIntyre apparently could do it. And I feel like there's like a movie reference there. I couldn't put my finger on it. Wasn't there like there's some kind of I wanted to say Harry Potter, but it's not Harry Potter, where only one person could be the one to take a sword out of is it like the Sword in the Stone or some Disney movie? I'm missing it, guys. I was trying to make the analogy in my head. I was like, this is gonna be funny, and I couldn't come up with it. Somebody can, but we couldn't have Madcap Moss and Corbin pull the sword out of the desk, and after making just, I mean, terrible jokes. I mean, they're supposed to be terrible. Honestly, I don't even like understand him half the time. Like some of the jokes, I'm just like, yeah, I know they're supposed to be bad and people are supposed to boo it and they're supposed to laugh, like, you know, children. But some of them I don't even understand. I don't know. But they couldn't pull the sword out. Of course, Drew McIntyre comes back out or comes out and clears the ring to take his sword back. And that's pretty much it. I was actually hoping he was going to slice the desk in half. That would actually have been a cool visual. I really thought I was going to take the desk and just slice it right in half. That would have been really cool. I mean, but he didn't do that. He just stood there with a sword and he's in a hold me over program until the Rumble. That is when things are going to really heat up for Roman or for Roman, for Drew, I believe. So look out. Those of you that are kind of wondering what the hell Drew is doing in this program, it's called a hold me over. It's called just give it a month. Give it a month. Things will be much different a month from now. We'll be talking much differently about Drew McIntyre. In a good way, for those of you that are fans of Drew and maybe chasing Roman for that Universal Championship. So, let's see here. Oh, by the way, Madcap Moss is going to be in a match against McIntyre at Day One. Yeah, weird, right? I mean, I thought it was going to be maybe at least Corbin, but maybe a handicap, but no. It's the least interesting of all the options of Madcap Moss versus Corbin, or Madcap Moss versus Roman at, against Drew. Too many names, guys. Madcap Moss against Drew McIntyre one-on-one at Day One. Now, that could change. I would foresee it changing, given that that's not the most intriguing matchup in the world. So, okay. The Viking Raiders defeated Jinder Mahal and Shanky via pinfall after Eric hurled Ivar butt first into Shanky's face, and a 747 splash from the top rope preceded the match, winning pin. I mean, I've got nothing to say about this. The Viking Raiders had a little momentum many, many months ago, and that died. And they've been relegated to just joking backstage, 24/7 title nonsense. And now they are just working with a team that, you know, is clearly the bottom of the card in Jinder Mahal and Shanky. But look, you got to have tag teams. I'm not saying disband these teams. They're fine. But boy, neither team have any momentum. And that's just crazy. You know, when the Viking Raiders are doing their like chest bump to try to get the crowd into it, like they're, you know what I'm talking about. They were at the beginning of their entrance music, standing in the ring, and they're pounding their chest in rhythm with their music. And in the background, absolutely nobody is in concert with them. That's embarrassing. And that's how you know there's nothing for them right now. At least momentum-wise from the crowd. Sasha Banks and Toni Storm defeat Charlotte, Flair, and Shotzi. That opened the show. That was cool to see this open the show. After Storm surprised Flair, here we go, guys, with the roll-up into it. Now, it did accompany a bridge, so there was the bridge in addition to the roll-up, and it was cool. That and I got to say, the spot with the crossbody that Sasha Banks did on Charlotte, where Michael Cole said, how she turned that into a crossbody, I'll never know. That was a cool spot. That was, I mean, my God, how did she, I don't know how she did that, but number one, it's good to see Shotzi back in relevancy. Number two, no tank. Great. Number three, Charlotte Flair in the ring is always a plus. Number four, Sasha Banks and Charlotte, as much as storied rivalry as that is, they're always really good in the ring. Number five, Toni Storm getting in your prominent position, getting that quote unquote push. Good stuff. All good. The match itself, very good. And having Toni Storm get the victory, great. But Toni Storm getting the roll-up victory, does it have to be a roll-up? What would WWE do with their bookings if they could not do any schmoz finishes? Like, just for a month, if they couldn't do roll-ups, if they couldn't do DQ finishes or distraction finishes, like if they were forced to do clean victories and losses, what would their card look like? There's a challenge. There's a challenge for creative. And I don't want to hear from somebody, well, that would hurt the heels. They have to cheat to win. No, they don't. No, they don't. I'm okay with heels cheating to win. They should once in a while, but not all the time. And not, you know, with pulling on the tights and on the ropes and behind the referee's back and all this stuff. You know, and also roll-ups hurt baby faces because then it takes away the credibility of their victory. I mean, you have schmoz finishes left and right in WWE. And that's essentially the equivalency of 50-50 booking. It's 50-50 booking without 50-50 booking as a label. I don't know. I think everybody feels the same way about the roll-up victories. It's overused is an understatement. But anyway, this match was really good, and Toni Storm getting the victory made sense. Toni Storm, I would like to see her get more on, on mic time, as I've said about Cesaro and others. It seems like people have matches, yet I don't get invested because I don't hear from you about what this match means to you. But Toni Storm also maybe a bit of a pullback, scale back on the starry-eyed kind of fangirl of Sasha Banks. Like, she seems, when she looks at her and talks about her, when the little mic time she gets, that she is just so starstruck by Sasha. Stop it. You're not a little girl meeting her, her longtime hero or something. You know how you make you feel like you belong? By just belonging. By not acknowledging the fact that you're starstruck. How about that? It's just, I don't know. That's just, I'm not saying it's destroying her, but it's one of those things like, no, Tony, just make yourself on equal footing. Don't put Sasha up on a pedestal. All right. Anybody else, though, by the way, at the end of that match, when Sasha was holding up Toni Storm's hand, or they were at least side by side, that somebody was waiting for Sasha to give a backstabber to Toni Storm? I was. Anyway. Okay. I think I covered SmackDown pretty thoroughly. But, of course, we've got Monday Night Raw to get to here. And I did have, of course, as I say every week, it's a heavy focus on SmackDown with kind of a sprinkling of Raw. But let's talk a little bit about Bobby Lashley and his just run through the three matches here. I know that Kevin Owens lost because, again, the stipulation was if Bobby Lashley was able to defeat all three of his potential opponents at the pay-per-view, that he'd have to run through all three of them tonight somehow and win the matches. And Kevin Owens tapped before he got put in the Hurt Lock. And that made sense because if Kevin Owens is a heel, you want him to be cowardly and just tap out before. But really, is that even cowardly or is that smart? Knowing you're not going to be able to get out of the Hurt Lock and just tap before you do any damage and potential damage that would keep you out of the main event picture, the championship match at day one. So is that really a heel move or something that's just super smart by KO? I tend to view it towards the smart end of the spectrum, and that's the knee. But Seth Rollins ends up also losing his match via pinfall after Lashley defeated him with a spear because we had Owens attack Rollins during the match, leading to Rollins winning via disqualification. Pearson DeVille came out to announce that the match would be restarted and any remaining matches that Lashley would have on that night would be under no DQ rules. Lashley immediately hit Rollins with a spear to score the win. Well, let me ask you something, and I'll say this again because it has not been answered. How does that help with a straight and narrow outcome? Okay, you took the DQ out. How does that exactly stop Kevin Owens from then legally interfering in the matchup? You just incentivized Kevin Owens to interfere in the matchup, yet Kevin Owens didn't do it because, reasons. I'm not blaming Kevin Owens. I'm blaming creative for just not thinking through this. I would say that Kevin Owens, you're barred from ringside. If you interfere in this matchup, you will be barred or you will be removed from the matchup at day one, period. End of subject. Instead, they just said, oh, no DQ. How does that Kevin Owens out of the match? It does the exact opposite, or at least it should in a normal logical world. But then we get Bobby Lashley defeating Big E via pinfall with a spear. And that, again, I don't really ever care when Big E loses at all. So that to me is never a problem. That was a good thing. And Big E gets the victory. A little bit of a hanky-panky here in this one. And this one, of course, you knew that Lashley, when you get to the main event, you get to the last match, you're going to have Lashley win this. What's weird is, why are we not talking about this being a heel, or rather a baby face method to get into a matchup? Why is the heel having to climb through three hoops to get into the main event here? It's weird, right? I mean, Lashley is billed as a heel, yet we're supposed to believe that this is a non-admirable thing and is non-deserving that he's in this matchup because he had to go through all three of his opponents at day one in succession. So again, I think that this is fine. They could have just done a single match between Big E and Bobby Lashley. And if Bobby Lashley is able to defeat the champion Big E he gets inserted into the matchup. Instead, they strung it out between Kevin Owens and Bobby and KO, Seth Rollins and Lashley. So Bobby Lashley doing triple duty really just speaks to also the volume of time they needed to fill on Monday night. Again, the 3 hours rears its ugly head as it does most weeks. And if this was a normal 2 hour show like SmackDown, this would have been a single matchup between Bobby Lashley and Big E. But the other two were easily put there logically because they had to fill time. And they knew they'd always get a good match out of Bobby Lashley and Seth and KO. That's all there is to it. So I was a bit underwhelmed about Liv Morgan's promo. I know many of you mentioned you liked it. It wasn't as good to me as the previous week. Liv Morgan gets attacked by Becky and ends up getting her arm, essentially, her arm attacked. Her arm was between the ring steps and the ring post. She stomped on it, Lynch did, and accepted Liv Morgan's challenge for day one. That made sense. The good thing is here, while I didn't really particularly like the squishy, feel-good, little girls can look up to me promo, which is always just, to me, incendiary, we did get at least a solid continued follow-up with Becky Lynch as a heel. There's no more kind of wishy-washy outside of the music that needs to be changed, which always lags like months behind a heel turn. This, to me, made sense. Lynch only accepted when she knew she had advantage by injuring the arm of Liv. Liv's still the beloved babyface underdog. And this story, I think, is progressing well. I have to say it's progressing well, and I'm liking it. So, of course, Miz and Edge brawl during the Miz TV segment, and we had Miz use his wife as a shield. She wasn't happy about it. The Cutting Edge is going to feature Maryse this week on Raw, I believe, and many believe that Beth Phoenix is going to come back, and it's going to be a tag team matchup between Edge and Beth Phoenix and Maryse and The Miz. I could see that. That'd be fun. I think that could be part two of this. You know, part two of this could be that mixed tag team match, and you could see that be maybe a Rumble, although Edge in the Rumble is always fun. Edge could maybe sit this one out and have a tag team match between The Miz and his wife and Beth Phoenix and himself. That could be part two of this. But right now it needs to be one-on-one, Edge versus Miz. But I could be wrong. Maybe they get right to it. And they, maybe Vince doesn't feel The Miz is big enough of a draw to face Edge, and therefore it has to add the women. Possible. So overall, you know, again, Raw wasn't as good as the week before. Not even close. SmackDown was decent and progressed very quickly. And I continue to give WWE credit for really moving their storylines ahead in a season that is usually just god-awfully slow and more of a throwaway month of December. They have really stepped up their game. And I think they had to. If they're going to make a pay-per-view on the first day of 2022, they can't just take a nap throughout December as they normally do. So that's good. I also don't mind that they got rid of TLC at least in December. You know, maybe it rears its ugly head later in the year, but as for at least this time around, we don't have a December throwaway pay-per-view of TLC that's all gimmicky and, you know, all the tables and ladders and chairs of complete overuse. That's a good thing. So anyway, guys, a little bit shorter than usual, and with the magic of editing, you didn't know I had to stop about six times for putting down the little one, but that's why I don't have a co-host right now on Weeks in Review, because of that exact reason. And it's nice to be able to just, you know, right now not have to worry or put somebody in a position where I'm interrupting them. So co-hosts will return, I promise. But for right now, thank you, everybody. Again, this week, we're going to try to stick to a normal schedule as possible. I know it's Christmas week, but I'll be here through the mailbag for the Raw review, and other co-hosts might be kind of hit and miss here and there. But we're going to give you as much audio as we possibly can during this week of Christmas. And I hope everybody enjoys the week. Maybe you have a short week. Most of us, even though Christmas falls on the weekend, maybe some of us are taking Friday off for Christmas Eve. I know I am. So thank you, everybody. Consider going ad-free for this limited time 99-cent a month offer on Apple Podcasts. $9.99 for the entire year. It's locked in. Even if the prices get raised in just a couple weeks or whenever I decide to. But lock in your price now, and the price will not change if you lock it in. And Patreon is also $1 a month. So lots of places to go and get rid of those pesky ads. Stop cussing at your phone. Stop, you know, scrolling through the ads, and be able to go ad free with those options. So everybody, thank you so much. Welcome to Christmas week. Welcome to the week before the pay-per-view. I guess I can say that now. And thank you, everybody. As always, I'll talk to you next time. Let's talk about supplements for just a minute. The market of supplements is overcrowded, right? It's oversaturated. There's too many to choose from. You just don't know which one you want. You don't know which one's effective, what has potential harmful side effects. Well, I have one that I can tell you with confidence is not only not going to give you any of those negative side effects, but also will provide you with the energy that's sustainable. It doesn't have those crashes. And the product I'm talking about is called Energy Boost. It's from a company called Vitali Boost, and they sell a bunch of other great products. But you can check out the website at vitaliboost.com. That's V-I-T-A-L-I boost.com. So what makes Energy Boost so great? Well, it's made from natural, clinically researched ingredients that include caffeine, B vitamins, and other energy-stimulating nutrients. And it's perfect whether you're working out, gaming, studying, or during those intimate times with your partner. Not only does Energy Boost give you sustained, powerful energy, it's also specifically formulated to avoid those negative effects that I was talking about that some people experience with just consuming caffeine alone. I'm a massive coffee drinker. I can tell you the crash is no fun, right? We all know that. Those of us that are Starbucks aficionados or wherever you may get your coffee, we all know what that does. This is not going to give you that crash. And Vitali Boost, by the way, is a leader in the supplement energy market. And customers absolutely love them. Right now, they have a 92% five-star review on Judge Me. It's a third-party review platform that only accepts reviews from verified purchases. So you know they're not just creating these manufactured reviews. These are real people reviewing the product, honestly. And 92% is an amazing, amazing five-star rating review. So check out Energy Boost today, risk-free. You can go to vitaliboost.com. Again, that's VitaliBoost.com. You use our promo code WWE for a discount. But if you're interested in learning a little bit more about the science behind Energy Boost, visit my Vitali Boost's health guide at VitaliBoost.com. Again, VitaliBoost.com. And right there, you'll find information from peer-reviewed academic journals about the active ingredients in all of Vitali Boost's supplements. All of these supplements, by the way, are made in the United States. That's cool. And a reminder, go to vitaliboost.com and use our promo code WWE. You'll get a discount on the Energy Boost and all of their other great supplements. So don't miss out, guys. Go check out Energy Boost. And again, it's vitaliboost.com, VitaliBoost.com.
The WWE podcast. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss a show, or head to WWEpodcast.com. And for all of these shows ad-free, head over to patreon.com/WWE podcast. Until then, we'll see you next time.